And welcome into another edition of Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. I'm your host, Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game, also the Nashville Predators correspondent for NHL.com. Hope everybody's doing well on this Wednesday evening, whether you're listening here on the radio or you're coming in on our live stream, whether it's YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. We're glad to have you here on Smashville Live on Wednesday night. We're going to be joined shortly by Hal Gill. Skills are going to be in the house as well. But pleased to welcome to the show Nashville Predators defenseman Mark Borowiecki. Mark, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Hey, Robbie. I just want to say thanks for having me on, man. I'm doing all right. Just life on the road here, but appreciate getting a chance to chat.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us tonight. And we were just kind of joking around before the show. I mean, I know, at least from my vantage point, this season has been so condensed and so compact that it's been difficult to kind of look ahead just because it seems like there's always something coming. But this road trip, I mean, 8 games, 16 days, you guys are in for a heck of a road trip on this one, man. What's life like on the road right now?
Yeah, it's a grind. It's my 11th year pro. I think the longest one for me up to this point was 14 days back when I was an auto. We do a swing out west, but it's tough for sure. I think playing so much actually kind of helps, keeps you a little bit distracted. You're not just kind of sitting in your hotel room doing nothing quite as much. So, it's just kind of a chance to play every other day. But, this year has been unique for sure. There's not a lot of time to kind of sit back and evaluate your game or anything like that, because the next challenge is kind of right up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's a definitely unique year from that perspective. I mean, and it's interesting, like I've talked to some guys, like what life is like on the road this year. Obviously, you're not going out to dinner with each other around cities. Right. You're not out shopping, doing things that you normally do. I know you maybe never get used to something like that, but what's it been like trying to adjust to the new normal here in the NHL this year on the road?
It's different for sure. You said it. I mean, especially as a new guy coming to a team, I think, people kind of underestimate how important it is sometimes to go on the road, especially early on in the season. You get a chance to bond with your teammates and be together, kind of all hours of the day. So missing that sucks. But recently, I think actually a lot of guys around the league have started to do this. I decided to go back to school and finish my degree. So I just started that. So hoping that kind of keeps me occupied a little bit. And I think it kind of gives you a bit of a healthy outlet, so you're not just sitting in your room stewing, thinking about ice hockey all the time.
Just more confirmation that you guys are always more productive than us media types that just sit around and twiddle our thumbs and do nothing all day. Mark Borowiecki on here with us on Smashville Live. So, Mark, 3 out of 4 points to begin this road trip. A dramatic win in Dallas, a game that was back and forth. You guys get it done in the shootout. And then an overtime loss last night against Carolina. I know that injuries are piling up with your group, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in just a second. But where do you think your team is right now? What are you noticing out there on the ice about the Preds in their game?
I mean, obviously it hasn't been the start of the year that we've envisioned, especially, wanting to sign here as a free agent. I was hoping for a chance for success and team success. And so obviously we've all been a little bit disappointed and frustrated with that, but, I think there was a lot to be proud of in that game last night. We're missing our top D pair, not to make excuses or anything, but there's going to be those obstacles in the NHL sometimes. And, all things considered, I think we battled really hard. We did a lot of good things, a lot of positives to take out of that game. I mean, that Carolina team is going to be a contender here for the next while or foreseeable. And, we gave ourselves a chance to win and probably should have won. And, you got to kind of keep that in mind and keep that mindset rolling.
And Mark, I know, especially when you were first signed and Matt Benning was signed very shortly after that, and maybe even on the same day, if memory serves me correctly, and Matt Benning will be on the show a little bit later, by the way, for Predators fans wondering, just the concept of you guys being together as a D pairing, I think excited a lot of Predators fans, because you guys bring an element to the table that I think they've been missing around here for a lot. The grittiness, the physicality to your game, and being able to play and move the puck and contribute that way as well. Just what's it been like from your vantage point playing with Matt when you guys have been together this year?
No, I appreciate that. And, when we signed so close together, we kind of reached out to each other and we had a suspicion we'd be playing together. And I think it's important to kind of form that that sort of relationship and friendship, especially with a D partner. I mean, you got to rely on each other so much out there. You know, you got to kind of read and react and play off each other and communicate. So it's been nice, and it's been a good fit, I think. Obviously there's been some bumps, I think, towards the start of the year, like there kind of has been with the whole team, but you know, I found the last little bit, we've really sort of settled in as a D pairing. You know, primarily we've been asked to kind of play a defensive role, a lot of D zone faceoffs, some penalty kill, stuff like that. And, you know, it's always nice to contribute offensively and chip in that way. But, you know, there's also this kind of huge role to fill in terms of, like you said, physicality and playing those ugly minutes, those kind of thankless minutes. And I think that's something that Matt and I both take a lot of pride in. And I've just really enjoyed getting to know Benny. I was so pumped for him last night. Like, kind of felt like a proud big brother when he scored last night, you know. Like, he's just such a good kid, and he really is a nice, kind human being. And I was just so happy for him.
And Mark, it's interesting because obviously you've spent your entire NHL career in Ottawa up until this point, and became so attached to that place and loved by the fan base there in Ottawa. What's it like when you're leaving a place that you've become so familiar with, and you're going to a new team, and especially in a year like this, that's just been so strange and so difficult to adjust to? What was that process like for you?
I think I underestimated the challenge a little bit, to be honest. And I can't quite put my finger on any one thing, but, you know, I think part of it was kind of the expectation I put on myself. You know, I wanted to come in. I wanted to be solid defensively, physical, in your face. I wanted to be a good teammate. I wanted to get along to coaches, get along with my teammates. You know, I wanted to move to this new city and be a part of this community. And I think I kind of lost sight of what made me successful last year. And that was, you know, keeping maybe my focus a little more inward and focusing on my game and taking care of my house first, and then going out from there. And I think that's why, you know, I wasn't particularly happy with my game for kind of a 2-week stretch early on in the year. But I think now that I've kind of refocused, things seem to be rolling. And, you know, I've been so spoiled my career. I played in my hometown organization anyway, for 11 years. I never had to move. I never had to move a family. You know, we moved our, at the time, 8-month-old son down, our dogs. We sold our house in Ottawa. We moved down here. There's a lot of, I think, added stress that I placed upon myself and kind of got the better of me. But, you know, I've had a good chance to reset here, and I'm feeling really good about things now.
So going back to the decision-making process in this, in free agency, like, what do you remember standing out about Nashville? What was attractive about this place for your reasoning to come here?
I mean, the weather didn't hurt, that's for sure.
So, not bad.
11 years in Eastern Ontario, those winters, like, I can still feel my bones thawing out a little bit here. But you know, there was just so many things. And I've said this to so many people before, and I'll just kind of say it again, like, you know, when you sort of in the back of your mind or in your heart of hearts have made that decision to go UFA, you know, you can't help but dream a little bit. And, you know, even last year, towards the end of the year, my wife and I kind of sit down over dinner and have a drink and be like, all right, you know, let's look at some NHL teams. Where do we want to end up? And we always just kept coming back to Nashville. It was always kind of our top three. I think just the combination of, you know, a great place to raise a family, you know, a good city to live in, a really professional, classy organization with a potential to win, and a lot of skilled players, just kind of made it a great package. And obviously it's a little bit different this year, not having the fans in the building, but, you know, Bridgestone as a visiting player was a crappy place to play. And I say that in the most complimentary way possible. Yeah. It was tough. And I'm sure Benny will reiterate that in the next segment too. And that was also a big factor.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because it kind of sucks for you from this standpoint, as you haven't gotten to really experience the full power of that yet at home. And we know, and people who have been here since the Predators come to town, I mean, the crowd has always been a big part of what things are going on here, and just the action on the ice. And I know Ottawa, I mean, you're showing up one time a year, so you don't experience it a ton. But what do you remember about coming into Nashville as a visiting player?
It was always the first 10 minutes. We'd always say in the room, you know, like there's a saying in hockey, and it's always like, all right, boys, like, let's weather the storm here. You know, the first 10, let's get to the first 10, be on our feet and get back to work. And for as many years as I've been in the league, it seemed like that was the message every time we came into Bridgestone. So I was kind of looking forward to being kind of working downhill with that storm, but unfortunately not to be this year. So hopefully get back on track with that sooner rather than later.
Well, we're getting there. Hopefully we're getting closer and closer to getting back to that point. I'm just curious from a player's point of view, as you look at this season, we brought up the schedule before, the different life on the road. I mean, every NHL season is a grind. I mean, you've got to be mentally tough to get through it. And You know, just in the media, we hear about like the dog days of January when you're in game 55 or 56, trying to push through and get to the end. A bit of a different grind this year. What's it been like, both physically and mentally, from your vantage point, going through what's just a very different NHL season?
You know, I think I can kind of speak to me personally, and, you know, physically, you know, obviously I've had bumps and bruises this year already, but physically I don't find the challenge quite, you know, quite as intense, or, you know, I shouldn't say that. I find the mental challenge a little more difficult to tackle than the physical challenge. You know, I take a lot of pride in taking care of myself physically, the way I train, the way I work, the way I eat. So, you know, that's, you know, kind of a challenge that I was excited to rise to. I think I kind of underestimated the mental ups and downs, and, you know, I've alluded to it a bit in the past, in my times in Ottawa, and I've had kind of my ups and downs mentally, throughout my life and my career. And, you know, there was kind of an adjustment, I think, this year too. So, you know, I talked to some good resources here, and it's like, you know, something that they really instilled upon me that I really think helped and resonated with me was to give yourself a bit of grace. You know, it's such a unique year, such a tough year. You can't beat yourself up. You know, you can't get too high, you can't get too low, but you also got to, you know, realize that you need to set yourself some reasonable expectations. And, you know, I think having that mindset has kind of helped me in the past couple of weeks.
Mark Borowiecki, Predators defenseman, on with us here on Smashville Live. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break, including a story that I'm sure Mark is very tired of telling at this point, but we're going to get to it on the other side for Predators fans who have not quite heard it yet. This is Smashville Live. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Again, Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Predators defenseman Mark Borowiecki on with us here on Smashville Live. I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. And Mark, I got to tell you, this has been one of the unfortunate parts about this season, because we haven't actually had a chance to meet in person. Everything has been happening over Zoom, as I'm sure a lot of people have experienced over the course of the last year. But one of the things that I heard about you when you first signed here was just how good of a guy you are, how good of a dude you are. And I've experienced that over Zoom as well. And I have purposely not talked to you about this and not asked you about this, because I know you've probably been asked about it 1,000 times, but I'm going to have to do it now, because I know there are some Predators fans out there that may not be familiar with this story. So feel free to correct me if I'm getting some details wrong, but there was a story about you on a road game in Vancouver, or in the Vancouver area, where you thwarted a robbery attempt. Is that accurate? And what exactly happened?
Yeah, this is my 10 minutes of fame here, man. I'm gonna ride this for a while.
You should.
For all it's worth. Yeah, it's well, first of all, I appreciate the kind words, man. It means a lot to me. But yeah, so we'd flown in the night before after a game. I was running on like 4 hours of sleep, so I was pretty tired. And I love the city of Vancouver, and I'm not sure if the listeners are probably too familiar with it, but as you kind of go further east from downtown of Vancouver, it gets, you know, there's some areas that maybe aren't quite as safe. And we had gone to a sushi restaurant, me and two teammates, actually, for lunch. And there was a baby my wife was expecting with our son. And there was a baby store in the next neighborhood east that I really wanted to go to. So, you know, I split from the guys after lunch and went to this baby store. And I also really enjoy walking in different cities. And my mom gets mad and scared, but I'm like, Mom, people look at me, you know, they want to cross the street to avoid me. So, anyway, I'm walking home and I just kind of see this like shifty guy with a bike, like peering into all these like parked cars. And it was kind of like surreal. I just see him like pull something like metal or steel out of his pocket, and it's like come down and smash. He like smashed a window in a parked car, and I was kind of like across the street, and I'm just like looking around like, is this actually happening? So I see him like trying to wrestle this huge bag out of a broken window, and I just kind of like yelled across the street. I was like, dude, like I was so tired too. I was like, dude, like please don't do this. And he kind of like, you know, mumbled something, kind of cursed at me. So I kind of like slowly started walking across the street. I'm like, man, like please just leave the bag. Like, you don't want to do this. And again, he really started cursing at me this time. So I kind of like got up to a trot, and I'm like, all right, dude, like last chance, man, like just put the bag down, please. And he like finally, like, you know, gets the bag out of the car and like throws it over his shoulder and like swears at me and gets on his bike and like come charging at me on his bike. And like, I knew he had pulled something out to smash his window too. So I was kind of like, oh, here we go. So I had like my baby supplies in my one hand. And, you know, I just wasn't sure what the rules were or consequences if I like put this guy down hard and hurt him. So I tried to like kind of carefully, like I like hooked my arm in, kind of like semi clothesline him, like wrestle him off the bike and got him down and got the bag back. And I was like, hey, what do I do? Do I like beat this guy down or what? So anyway, long story short, I let him go, got the bag, called the cops. The guy got away, but I ended up returning the bag to the people who owned it. And fortunately, you know, I got it back because it had like all their passports and stuff in it. So, and the media kind of caught wind of it and it blew up a little bit. So that's my 10 sec there, my 10 minutes of fame there.
Local hero, Mark Borowiecki. For those Preds fans who don't know, his nickname is Borocop. And that, I mean, that's a perfect description. Now, how many times do you think you've been asked about this story? Because there's been a reason I've not asked you about it, because I'm sure you're tired of telling it. But I would guess hundreds upon hundreds of times.
Yeah, I've told it a bunch, and I appreciate that on your part. But, you know, it's always good for a good laugh. And I don't know, like, it's just, to me, there's more to life than ice hockey sometimes, you know, and I just try to be a good guy. And one of my mentors in this league was Chris Kelly. He won a cup with Boston. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. He works for Boston now. And like when I was a young guy, he kind of told me, you know, at a players reunion 20 years down the road, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want guys to remember you for? Is it just your on-ice achievements or how you were as a person? And I think that kind of stuck with me. So shout out to him.
It's funny too, because like if somebody like you told me to stop doing something, most people at that point probably stop doing it. And I've seen the kickboxing videos. I've seen everything that you put on social media. So I don't think that guy quite knew what he was doing, but shout out to you for doing that. We appreciate you. So this is a question I always enjoy asking players, because I mean, you've been around the league a long time, and you know, this has become, you know, a part of your life that you've gotten used to at this point. But at some point, everybody was a kid dreaming of playing in the NHL and getting to the NHL. So what was that journey like for you? And now that you've gotten here, what do you remember about the first game that you played in the NHL? How surreal was that moment?
That's a cool question. You know, I don't think I had kind of the typical career path that a lot of guys do. You know, I had a lot of ups and downs. I wasn't even sure if I was going to continue playing hockey. You know, I was kind of like 15, 16 years old, I guess to be a junior in high school for fans in the States. Right. But, you know, I got passed over in kind of the local junior drafts. I never got picked into I never got drafted to the OHL or anything. Didn't have a ton of success. Our version of the military academy in West Point in Canada is called the Royal Military College, RMC. It's in Eastern Ontario. And, you know, I'd kind of reached out to them. I was pretty seriously considering going there and just kind of stopping playing hockey. And I was fortunate enough as a kind of an overage guy in my local sort of, we call it tier two junior A league to be drafted. And, you know, I ended up having a couple of good years, and then I got approached by some D1 schools and ended up getting a scholarship, and things just kind of went from there. So, you know, it was not easy, not smooth for me, but I think it kind of made me into the person I am today. And my first game was in San Jose. I can't even remember how long ago it was. That's how old I am in this league. I'm pretty much, a fossil in this league now at 31, unfortunately. But I remember like just being so starstruck. Like I got on the ice and like Joe Thornton was out there, and I was like, oh my God, like what am I doing out here? You know, like I don't belong out here. Like even in my own dressing room, you know, we had Daniel Alfredson and Jason Spezza and all these guys I grew up watching and idolizing. And I just remember being so starstruck, but I ended up having a pretty good game, and luckily my parents and my sister were able to make it down, and it's something I'll never forget for sure.
What's been the best thing about playing in the NHL? I realize it's a very difficult question, and it's hard to narrow it down to one, but like when you think about the biggest thing that makes you smile about being an NHL hockey player, what's that been?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and there are a lot of answers, and I don't want to sound too Hallmark here or anything, but, you know, I remember being a little kid, like in Ottawa, my dad would bring me all around, I'd get cards signed, I'd worship these guys. You know, I still have pictures of me when I was a kid with Ottawa Senators players back in the day, and now, like, for me, having a son, and you know, he'll probably pursue hockey at some point, and for me as a player, being able to kind of pay that forward a little bit, and, you know, I try to take some time as much as I can to kind of interact with fans, you know, even just on social media. And like, you know, I remember as a kid, how special those moments were to me. And and what they meant to me. And it's like, if I can take 10 seconds out of my day to do something like that, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I remember. You know, the games and practices all just sort of blend into one, but I think it's kind of those moments off the ice that tend to stick out for most older guys.
Yeah, that's just a great answer there. So just really good. Kudos to you. I mean, and staying humble like that. I mean, it's just I think that's a really cool thing. So just a couple more minutes here with Mark Morawiecki, Matt Benning joining us in the next segment, and the Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes again tomorrow. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, but injuries starting to pile up a little bit for you guys with Josi being out and Ellis and Saros and Duchesne. The list goes on and on and on. How do you guys kind of handle that? I mean, you know, in the media, when things like this start to happen, you freak out a little bit and maybe you overreact. Obviously, you can't do that as a player. How do you guys go about handling this when injuries have started to creep up here with your club?
I think the best mindset is you know, it's an opportunity for guys to step up and cement themselves or prove something. And, you know, I think that's been a good mindset for me and Matt, too. You know, we've been third pair guys, and last game was a good chance for us to step up and play in that second pair role. And I thought we rose to the occasion. So I think, you know, as players and as athletes and as kind of like natural competitors, I think you need to make that your headspace and mindset. You know, it's kind of gut check for us as a team. And, you know, the situation isn't unique to us. Every team goes through ups and downs. Look at Chicago at the beginning of the year. That was something that John Hines mentioned to us. I mean, you know, they got Taves out for the year. They get hammered by COVID. You know, no one really picks them to do well. And look where they are now. They're a playoff team. So, you know, these challenges aren't really unique to us. So if we're going to sit here and feel sorry for ourselves and drag our lip, you know, it's not going to do much.
Mark, last thing for you here. As you look ahead to the remainder of this road trip and the way you guys have been playing as of late, what's it going to take to come out of this thing with a successful road trip here, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, there's a lot of tough teams we're playing, you know, top teams in this division. You know, I thought we did a good job against Carolina last night. The way they skate, the way they pressure, you know, we had a good plan, and I thought we matched their speed and their tempo well. And I think if we can play that way and sort of bring that through the rest of the trip where, you know, we make teams kind of play to our speed and our tempo versus being reactionary, I think it's going to do us well. You know, some high-end skilled teams here, and it's going to be a good challenge. So hopefully we can kind of keep that sort of positive on our toes mindset.
Predators defenseman Mark Morawiecki has been our guest here on Smashville Live. Mark, really appreciate you taking time out of your night to join us here on the show, man. Great stuff.
No, it's always my pleasure, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We'll be joined coming up next by Mark's defense partner, defenseman Matt Benning. He'll be on the other side. This is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Gotta get yep. Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Robbie Stanley here with you. Hal Gill as well, now joined by Predators defenseman Matt Benning. Matt, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Not a lot. You know what? It's a lot of hotels, a lot of hanging out in your room, and a lot of time at the rink. So it's getting a little bit boring, but you know what? Good thing there's FaceTime.
And we were talking to Mark Morawiecki, your defense partner, in the last segment, and this is a doozy of a road trip you guys are on. 8 games, 16 days, and it's one thing like to do that in a regular NHL season, but this one, where you're basically just confined to your room, what's it like? What have you been doing in your spare time?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, up until now, I wasn't much of a reader. I've been reading a bunch of books this year and just to pass time. And I think what a lot of people don't realize too is that normally you play a game after the game, you leave to the next city. So you're traveling a lot, where we're not traveling as much now, I think just to keep contact in airports and that sort of thing down. And so obviously we're playing two games. So we're in a city for 4 days, sometimes 5 days at a time. So yeah, things can definitely get boring. Like I said, thank God for FaceTime and talking to family that way. I know for a lot of us, haven't been able to see their extended family and moms and dads and brothers and sisters for a long time. So FaceTime has been awesome. And then, I'm sure Boro attended too. The wives are probably not overly excited about this 17-day road trip. You know what, I think they're awesome, and they lock it down at home.
not that every game isn't huge anyway, but this road trip is kind of, it's a big one. I mean, you guys are kind of in make or break territory. So does it help to get a little bit more focused when you have nothing else to do? You just worry about hockey?
Yeah, for sure. Our coaches are doing a good job. All of our meetings now are virtual. So whenever we want, it's just a click on our phone and then you can turn that on and watch your shifts or watch what the next team's going to do. And you can get ready that way. Spending a lot of time and getting your body ready, whether it's stretching in your room or spending an extra time at the rink, doing whatever you have to do for your body to be ready. It's a unique season when you're playing every other day and sometimes even more than that. I think we had a crazy stretch there of 10 games in 17 days or something like that. There's a lot of new things this year. Just you kind of got to roll with it and be a good professional. But yeah, like you said, this is a massive road trip. Thought that we maybe deserved a little bit better last game and had some unlucky breaks, but you know what, to have three out of the first 4 points is good, is a good start. We need to continue on against some really good teams that we've kind of struggled with in the past. And I think it's a great challenge for this group. Some guys are out of the lineup with some injuries and that sort of thing, and give some guys an opportunity to step up in the lineup and show what they got. And you'll see a lot of new faces and new guys coming to the lineup and make an impact.
And Matt, you mentioned 3 out of 4 points to begin the road trip and a goal for you last night, your first goal as a member of the Nashville Predators. What was that play like and what do you remember about it? And how good was it to get that first one out of the way here in a Predators uniform?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get the first one out of the way. Especially for me, I wouldn't call myself a high offensive scoring defenseman, so you'll take them whenever you can. The guys were super excited and a little bit about the play. All I remember was, you know, our forwards did a great job shooting the puck. I think actually Boro shot the puck. And I think the last 3 or 4 games, we kind of talked about puck battles and winning those one-on-one puck battles, whether it's in the offensive zone or defensive zone. And Sizzy did a great job in kind of getting body position. And then Tolvi found me kind of creeping down the side. And then Cuzzy had a great net front screen and didn't allow the goalie to see the puck. And, I honestly just tried to put it on net, put it to where kind of the goalie wasn't looking. There's I think 2 opportunities for our forwards to tip the puck there, and that's as a defense, and that's kind of all you're looking for is to try to get the puck to the net and try to give the forwards opportunities to tip it, and fortunately they didn't tip it and they went in. So it was definitely awesome to get that one out of the way, and all the boys were pretty excited.
You'll take it, right? You don't care how it goes in as long as it goes in.
Absolutely.
Hey, what are you guys saying? And now you lost Fabro for 2 games. I like another tough hit. Like, what are you guys saying on the back end? Like, are you trying to? How do you handle that? I mean, you had Davies in there, just gone in. I thought he did a great job. Carrier is doing a great job. Like, but these guys are playing big minutes and the NHL, it's different. What are you saying to these guys?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I think that they've done an awesome job with Harps coming in now, and he has some NHL experience and has played some games with us this year and done a great job. So, you know what, I think just no matter what, we kind of, as a decor, we know what we can do. Some of those guys were in Milwaukee last year and they had a really strong team, and regardless if you're playing in the NHL or the American League, they were in those situations in tough games last year, kind of down the stretch and proved to be a top team. So we know that the depth in this organization is strong. It's just a matter of just putting guys in the right situations. And I thought Davies had a great game. Him and Carzi were strong, played well, moved the puck, skated well.
Preds defenseman Matt Benning on with us here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Matt, as I said, we had Mark Borowiecki on to begin the show. Obviously, your defense partner, and he talked about when you guys first signed here in Nashville, you guys had an idea you might be playing together in the lineup, and you guys just called each other and started to build that chemistry right away. What's it been like playing with Boro up until this point, and how's that chemistry coming along in your opinion?
Yeah, I think game to game, we've grown. I think it's one of those things that we think kind of the same. I think we're simple. We get physically involved in battle, and I think that we have a good idea of where the other player will be on the ice for the most part, and how each other guy sort of plays. I think just with me in my previous team and him in his previous team, there's a lot of defensemen, a lot of D partners. Kind of getting used to that has definitely helped here with you know, with some injuries, COVID stuff. Boro has been great. He's a true professional, played a lot of games. So he's definitely a guy that I lean on and for experience and advice. Definitely will lean on him coming up here with some newer faces in the lineup.
You said you watch video, but you said you got watch it in your hotel room, right? You can just call it up there. Do you ever get a chance to sit down with Boro and go through your clips together, or is that something that you did in the past and now you're moving on?
Yeah, you know what? That dynamic is a little bit different than this year. Just with us not having in-person team meetings where we can sometimes discuss those things, I think one of the positives that has come from COVID is just the spacing of the locker room. As a D group, we kind of get our own room so we can kind of talk strategy or talk about situations in a game where normally we're kind of scattered out or along the room. And there's forwards or goalies in between us. Not saying that's a bad thing, but I think that the atmosphere in the D room is we're kind of just focused on what we need to do. We're talking about their power play strategy kind of before the game and how we need to defend it on the penalty kill. It just kind of creates a good chat and good talk and kind of keeps us sharp and fresh.
Matt, what's the grind of this season been like? Obviously, in a normal season, 82 games, it's a grind to begin with. But different this year with the condensed schedule and the life that's different on the road. What's it been like from your vantage point compared to what you expected it to be coming into the year?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. And the way I would describe it this year, it kind of feels like it has really similar vibes and feel as kind of a playoff series. You're playing teams lots throughout the year. You're playing them twice, normally twice in 3 days, which is kind of like a playoff would be. Less games, so points are that much more important. You're only playing against your own division. So you're kind of getting that feel and I think part of it that comes with it is coach has done a good job and giving us maybe some extra rest days or cutting back on practices and maybe giving us a little bit more video where we can learn on video rather than be on the ice and practice and doing it in practice just to save our energy. And I think part of it too is guys kind of understand, you know what, it's going to be a long year, even though there's less games or playing crazy amount of games in a short period of time, and they take care of their bodies and whether it's hydration or sleep, and there's so many metrics now that you can measure all of that and just to make sure that your body's on track. So I think it's definitely a team effort. We got extra trainers this year, kind of anticipating there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. Guys are going to get injured. I thought that the guys coming into the lineup have done a great job staying ready, which can be a hard thing at times when you don't really know when you're going to be called on. You're just kind of practicing. And, I've been there my first year. I was scratched quite a bit, so I know how that is. As a group, I think everyone is taking a good professional approach to it.
Predators.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, you've been watching Ellie Tolvanen and kind of the progression, you know, before this season, he had a shot and he missed it. And he kind of slowly was working on his game. Now you're watching him go. I got the shirt now. I'm all in.
I love it.
The Tolvanen shirt. Like, he looks good out there, but you've kind of sat there. What do you see from the back end just watching him play and the way he's starting to get to his game?
Yeah, for sure. And I think what a lot of people or some people don't see too is the defensive side of the game for him. Obviously, he's done well in the power play and has produced offensively. But the guy back checks so hard coming back, which, I mean, as you know, helps so much just in maintaining your gap and playing up and not allowing them to get in the zone. And I think he's kind of surprised a lot of people with how strong he is. You see him flying across the ice and hitting somebody and knocking them over. He's definitely kind of played a well more rounded game and obviously power play and offensively in general, he's taken off. So yeah, he's been awesome. He's a great guy in the locker room, always chit chatting and a good soccer player too. I try to get him out of the circle as soon as I can.
Coming up next, we'll have more with Predators defenseman Matt Benning and continue to look ahead at the road trip for the Predators. All that coming up next. This is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Robbie Stanley alongside Hal Gill and Predators defenseman Matt Benning on with us here on the program. And Matt, obviously for Predators fans who don't know, your stop before this was in Edmonton, and obviously some really dynamic players there as well in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. What was that experience like for you in Edmonton? And I got to ask you, like, being on the ice with McDavid, how fast is that dude? How do you put it into words how fast that guy can move?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a defenseman's nightmare. I mean, a lot of D-men try to skate backwards trying to defend the guy. And I mean, if you think about it, no one's as fast as him skating forward. So why do you think you have a chance going backwards? But yeah, no, they're really special. It's obviously Connor kind of speeds up the game. He does everything at insanely high speeds. And then Leon, he has that gear where he can go fast, but he actually likes to slow the game down and is effective at it. So, I mean, there's many times on sitting on the bench or being on the ice with them and them doing something to the other team. And yeah, I mean, all you got to do is laugh. I mean, you can't do anything about it for the most part. So yeah, I mean, they're special. And yeah, I mean, I had a great time there with them and obviously time to move on and super happy that I'm here and a Pred.
So now you're here and you were just talking about you have an 8-month-old son, right? And that's got to be a crazy time to have a baby. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the time I was an Oiler and he was about 3 weeks old. We went into the bubble in Edmonton, which was, it was a little bit of a tease. I think a lot of people kind of assume like, oh, you could go home kind of after practice and see him. But we were locked in the bubble there. We weren't leaving. And there was a practice rink that a lot of the teams had to go and practice at. And it was the ultimate tease for me because we went and practiced there a few times and I could see the front of my house, like the way that we went to that rink, I could see it. So I was like, oh, I just would love to stop in. Obviously things didn't work out there and we were only in there for a week and a half, which kind of sucked. Wish something better would have happened there, but yeah, you know what? It's a crazy year. For them, obviously, they would normally be in swimming lessons. They'd normally be in some kids programs, and my wife would be involved and seeing all the other wives. There's so many other kids on the other or on our team. But I mean, just with everything and how it's going, it's tough. So, like I said earlier, just the FaceTimes, making sure that they're doing good, and having those interactions is so important. So. Yeah, super excited to just enjoy time with him when I have it. I had a bunch in the summer with him, and obviously now it's in spurts, but he's been awesome.
Matt, we were talking to Burrow earlier in the show just about the experience so far in Nashville, and it kind of sucks for you guys because obviously, you know, the crowd not being able to be there fully and the reputation that Bridgestone Arena has not been there fully this year. But coming in as a visiting player to Bridgestone and just what you've heard about the atmosphere here in Nashville, how much are you looking forward to one day being a part of that fully on the home side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being on the visiting side and coming to Bridgestone, your kind of game plan is like, hey guys, we just got to survive the first 10 minutes here. They come out so hard. And that was kind of the part that I was really looking forward to. The fans are really into it. It's a great atmosphere. They're loud, very involved in the game. So obviously that part, it's nice seeing a little bit of fans come back and for how many there are, they are loud. So yeah, super excited to have more fans in there and fully experience that on the other side, which will be a lot better.
It's a lot of fun. I can't wait for it to happen either. Hey, can you take us back to youth hockey? I'm at the rink right now about to jump on with my 9-year-old. But I want to kind of, you know, just let the people know about your background, how you grew up playing hockey and your development from being, I assume, 4 or 5 years old until now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been really fortunate to have a family that is very involved in hockey. My dad played in the NHL for 10 years, played in the Western Hockey League. My uncle, he played in the NHL, also went to the Western Hockey League. And then my other uncle was a scout for a long time. And then my other uncle, he played hockey and went the NCAA route. And as a young kid, I wasn't in the best shape. I could always think the game, but not necessarily get up the ice very fast. So I think at a younger age, I kind of decided that I wanted to go to college and try that. And my dad was fully involved. I mean, going back to that, I played, I kind of played at the top level in Pee Wee. Bantam, first year I got cut. I played Bantam AA my first year. And that was a tough learning experience for me. First time I've ever been cut from a team. You know, like you're in school, you want to be on the best team. You want to be the best player sort of thing. And that was really hard for me, but it ended up being one of the best things for me. I got a ton of confidence. I played in positions that I normally wouldn't play and kind of developed in a different way as a player. From there, I played midget hockey, played midget AAA my first year. And then I played junior A local in Alberta, which is kind of a feeder league to go to either the USHL or right into college. So I played there locally at 16 and 17 with some good players. Then at 18, I went and played in the United States Hockey League for Dubuque Fighting Saints. We had a great team. We won the championship there. Then from there, I got a scholarship to go to Northeastern, where actually Davies, I wasn't there when he was there, but that's where he played college. And so I played 3 years there. didn't get my degree, but at the time my rights were up with Boston, so they kind of had the decision like, hey, do you want to sign me or do you not want to sign me? They decided they didn't want to sign me, so I was basically a free agent. From there, I could kind of choose anywhere, which was unique. And I picked Edmonton, not just because it was my hometown, but I thought it was a great opportunity for me to play right away, which was important for me. And then made the team there my first year, and everything else has been history or smooth sailing or somewhat smooth sailing.
You're still making yeah, history.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So, you know what, growing up, I had so many influences. My grandpa was a scout with the Montreal Canadiens for 45 years. He was at every one of my hockey games, giving me advice. My dad, giving me a ton of advice. Uncles, there's so many people in my family, and I think they did a really good job in balancing, giving me some information and some tips and not overloading me and telling me what to do and kind of just letting me figure out how I need to play in order to make it. So they were awesome.
Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure getting to know you here on the show tonight. Appreciate you taking some time to join us, and good luck to you and the rest of the team as you guys continue to go through the road trip here.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely. Preds defenseman Matt Benning has been our guest here on Smashville Live. Skillsy, that does it for tonight, or does it for us tonight. Appreciate you taking time to join us, my man.
Thanks for having me. It was fun. I love hearing stories about, you know, going back and, you know, you take a step back in Bantam and you learn from it and you go on. I love hearing stories like that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. This has been Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll see you next week. Slapshot Radio coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.